every woman has to be informed of the harms, has to be informed of the benefits, and every woman has to make that decision for herself. What do you value? Do you value finding cancer early or not?
Welcome to This is Perimenopause, the podcast where we delve into the transformative journey of perimenopause and beyond. I'm one of your hosts, Mikkel.
And I'm your other host, Michelle. And we know firsthand how confusing, overwhelming, and downright lonely this phase of life can be.
Join us as we share real-life stories and expert advice to help you navigate this journey and advocate for your best health.
We used to think menopause signaled an end, but really, it's just the beginning. On today's show, we have Jenny Dale, a breast cancer survivor whose journey led her to become a fierce advocate and co-founder of Dense Breast Canada. This nonprofit organization is committed to raising awareness and advocating for optimal breast cancer screening. Jenny's here today to tell us about the importance of breast density and how to advocate for the breast screening that every woman needs.
Jenny, welcome. We're so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm going to dive right in. Could you tell us and our listeners a little bit about you and why you co-founded Dense Breasts Canada?
Okay. Well, in 2014, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was early stage. It wasn't seen on mammogram. I was fortunate to have an ultrasound requisition at the time. And shortly after my diagnosis, which was lumpectomy and then mastectomy by my choice because I wanted to avoid radiation, I came across a book by Joan London, the former co-host of Good Morning America. It was called Had I Known. And I saw this in Indigo and I thought, okay, I'd been beating myself up for getting breast cancer. I said, this book is going to prove, you know, it's going to reinforce all the guilt I've been feeling. Had I known, you know, shouldn't have been eating all that sugar and should have been taking better care of myself and all that. But the book wasn't about that. The book was actually about the fact that she had dense breasts. And had she known that supplemental screening would have caught her cancer earlier, she would have gone for ultrasound. And so she was on a mission to educate women in the U.S. about the benefits of supplemental screening and the risks of dense breasts. And she had partnered or was collaborating with a woman in the States called Nancy Capello, who had a delayed diagnosis. I read that book. I was like mesmerized. I was like, I stickied up the whole book. And I was just like, what? Like, I didn't know any of this. I don't know what dense breasts are. Do other women know about this? Are they telling women in Canada? Is that why my cancer was missed? So I had all these questions. I immediately emailed Nancy Capello in the States and said, you know, I heard about your advocacy to get women informed in the States. Are you doing anything in Canada? And she connected me with another woman in Canada who had connected her. And so I contacted a woman in Vancouver by the name of Michelle DiTommaso. And we just clicked on that first call. We were both really outraged that women in Canada were not being informed of their breast density because it's a potential risk factor for breast cancer. And if women knew, they could do something about it. And we were just like shocked. And we both seemed to have the same level of passion and anger. And we decided right then and there on that first call that we were going to do something about this. I thought, how hard can this be? Women aren't being told critical health information. We go tell the government that they need to tell women, and that's that. Well, here we are 7 years later. You know, we have made progress, certainly some really spectacular progress, but it was not easy. And so it's good that I was ignorant at the time because I don't know if I ever would have started Dense Breast Canada if I had known what I know now.
Thank you for that. And thank you for bringing your passion to this very important issue.
Jenny, what exactly is breast density?
Yeah, it's a term that not too many women are familiar with, and it can be a little bit confusing because we say breast density and we say dense breasts. So breast density is a continuum of the amount of dense tissue that you have. There's four categories. You can be category A, B, C, or D. And what it is, what it measures, and this is measured by the radiologist looking at your mammogram, is the amount of fibroglandular tissue that you have versus fat. So if you have more fibroglandular tissue in your breasts than fat, then you are said to have dense breasts. So category A would be fatty breasts, and then it goes up, it increases in the level of dense tissue that you have. And all of this is normal tissue. 43% of women have dense breasts. every woman's breasts are unique, let's put it that way. And it is normal to have dense breasts. So it's just that if you have dense breasts, then you want to know so that you understand the risks associated with dense breasts. If you're in category C or D, cancer can be masked. A mammogram is just an X-ray. A tumor shows up white and dense tissue shows up white. So the more dense tissue you have, the more white there's going to be on that X-ray, the harder it's going to be to see that cancer. And so women are being told that they have a clear mammogram, but really there's a cancer there, and women are walking around with a false sense of security. And the other risk of having high breast density is that it increases, this is an independent, a totally separate risk than the masking risk. This, it increases your risk of getting breast cancer. So if you're in the highest category, which is category D, you have a 4 to 6 times higher risk of getting breast cancer than a woman who is in category A. So you would want to know that because you might mitigate your risk factors. You might drink less alcohol. You might watch your weight or diet or watch your hormones if you're taking hormone replacement. So these are important risk factors that women need to know about.
You mentioned mammograms. Is that how women can find out their density score? Is that the only way to find out your density score?
Well, it is for the majority of women. You can also determine it from an MRI, but not an ultrasound. But it is a mammogram, and the radiologist looks at that mammogram and eyeballs how much dense tissue the radiologist sees. There is also software that some provinces in Canada are using. I haven't tracked which provinces are using the software, but that gives an accurate assessment of what category a woman is in. Otherwise, it is a subjective assessment, and it can vary from radiologist to radiologist. So between your mammograms, 1 year you may be category C, and the next year radiologists may consider you category D.
What does a breast look like in the ultrasound? What's different about that?
It's the level of contrast. So you can't determine it from the ultrasound. And the other thing I want to mention is you cannot feel if your breasts are dense. So there is this misconception out there that many healthcare providers have. They'll do a clinical exam and they'll tell a woman, oh, I can't really feel anything. Your breasts are so dense, but you can't feel dense tissue. And so many women have approached us and said, oh, I have dense tissue. And then they'll tell me they never had a mammogram. And they'll say, oh, but my doctor told me. And that's just, you can't tell by look, by feel, by size. You have to have the mammogram. And that's why in situations with young women, we cannot know if they have dense breasts or not. But more young women than older women have dense breasts. You'll have a much higher percentage of women in their 40s with dense breasts than you will women in their 60s or 70s, because density decreases with age usually. You will still have about 25% of women in their 60s with dense breasts, but for the most part, it decreases after menopause.
Very interesting.
When, maybe we'll break this up into sort of two parts. First off, when should women start breast cancer screening? And I would say, you know, according to the breast cancer experts, when should they start screening? And we'll get into that a little bit more later on. And then if someone does find out they have dense breasts, what else should they be doing in addition to that mammogram?
Well, according to the experts, and we are very fortunate to collaborate with Canada's leading breast cancer experts, and this is not just based on our experts, it's based on worldwide evidence that annual screening starting at age 40 will save the most lives. So that is what we are aiming for in Canada, to get annual screening across the country. And if a woman finds out that she has dense breasts, what we're aiming for is that she gets supplemental screening. And right now we're asking for ultrasound. There are other modalities that can find more breast cancer than ultrasound, but we have to consider what is affordable, what is realistic, what is available and accessible in Canada. Unfortunately, we are not getting the screening that would be ideal. So we have a long way to go, but at the very least, a woman with dense breasts should be getting additional screening, because up to half the cancers are missed in category D.
Wow.
About 30% are missed in category C. If you get that additional screening, you've got a much better chance of finding cancer early before it gets into the nodes. You can have the chance to avoid chemotherapy, the chance to avoid mastectomy, the chance to avoid lymphedema, and the chance to avoid all the, you know, emotional, financial, all the repercussions that comes with more aggressive treatment and surgery. So the goal is to find cancer early, and that is why we want women to know if they have dense breasts so that they can seek that additional screening. And it, sometimes it's not easy to get. And it depends on where you live, if you're going to be able to get it. It depends on how informed you are, how well you can advocate. The onus is on the woman.
I saw on your website you have some really great tools to help women advocate for their additional screenings with their doctor. I thought that was really great material. Thank you for putting that up.
Thank you. We do have a script, conversation tips that women can use to have that conversation with their doctor, because most doctors will say, oh, there's no evidence to show that additional screening will increase your lifespan. And this is a cop-out. This is not true. There's 50 years of evidence on breast density. So it's kind of not easily understood why provinces would continue to say that unless you just take financial considerations into account. But the evidence is there. They're just focused on a specific type of evidence. So it's very easy for them to say there's no evidence because they're looking at randomized controlled trials only. And randomized controlled trials have not been done to assess the benefit of extra screening for women with dense breasts. There's one happening now in Japan. And the preliminary findings are showing, yes, it's going to decrease mortality. Yes, it's finding cancer early, which means we're going to save more lives. Our medical advisor, Dr. Paula Gordon, did the first study in 1995 that showed that ultrasound finds additional cancers missed in mammography. So that's like 28 years ago that this study came out. Since then, there have been multi-center studies done proving what she found. She's just done recently in the clinic where she is in Vancouver, they looked at all the ultrasounds and how many cancers they found in 2019. They found 7 additional cancers that were missed on mammogram per 1,000 women. And 7 doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think that mammogram only finds 5, finding an additional 7, saving an additional 7 lives, it's significant, very significant. MRI will find 12 to 16 additional cancers. And so we'll contrast enhanced mammography. So every additional cancer that's found matters.
Maybe we could delve a little bit more into, I'm going to call it controversy. I think that breast screening guidelines are controversial. Maybe you mentioned monetary issues. I think also there's a little bit of, well, there might be false positives, and there's this patriarchal notion that women can't handle the stress of that. Can you talk a little bit more about why you've been working so hard at this and we're still not where you or where we should all, where you'd like us to be, where we should be from a screening perspective?
There's so much misinformation. There's so much disinformation surrounding breast cancer screening. There is a concerted effort in Canada to reduce the amount of women that are going for screening. We have on average about 60% of women are going for breast cancer screening in Canada. The national target is 70. You don't see provinces pushing breast cancer screening. You don't have a task force that's pushing screening. They are anti-screening. Everything our Canadian Task Force on Preventive Healthcare recommends is anti-screening. That's because they're using information that is outdated and flawed. And this is the information that is being given to family doctors. This is the information that family doctors convey to women. A woman goes in for a mammogram in her 40s and the doctor will spew the harms. They will overstate the harms and understate the benefits. And these harms come from the task force. The harms, as you mentioned, of false positives and overdiagnosis. First of all, there's no such thing as a false positive from a mammogram. A mammogram does not tell you if you have cancer. Only a pathologist can tell you if it's cancerous. So what a false positive is, and we're hoping to get this term changed to the word recall, because it's basically a recall for extra pictures. So if a radiologist is not 98-99% certain that what they're seeing is not cancerous, they're going to want a follow-up. They're going to want more pictures. And you should be damn happy they want more pictures. It's stressful to get a recall. Yes, what do you mean? What are they seeing? So while you're waiting for those extra pictures, your mind is, you know, you can't help yourself. What if I have breast cancer? It's stressful. There is anxiety for sure. We are not negating that, but that anxiety is transient. And studies have proven that anxiety is transient because after you get your pictures and you hear everything is fine, you forget about the whole thing. It's like it never happened. And most women that we speak to would much rather have those extra pictures than not have those extra pictures and then to find out later that a cancer was missed and they've got a delayed diagnosis now and their prognosis is uncertain. It's a false narrative that's being spewed. The task force is saying their harms outweigh the benefits of finding cancer early. It's complete fabrication. We know that if you have a mammogram in your 40s, you are 44% less likely to die than a woman who does not have a mammogram. And if you're in your 50s to 74, you are 40% less likely to die than a woman who does not have a mammogram. So they are saying that the chance of a recall is more harmful.
It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable.
How do you weigh that? Okay. And yeah. And then there's one other harm, which is another total manipulation. And that's why we speak to misogyny. We speak to the patriarchy. I don't know what words to even, but they speak to something called overdiagnosis. And overdiagnosis is theoretical. If you find something, if you're diagnosed with breast cancer, you don't have a choice. You have to treat it. And they are saying some of those cancers don't need to be treated. But the thing is that nobody in the entire world knows which breast cancers need to be treated and which breast cancers don't. So they're basically saying, don't go for screening because you might be diagnosed with a cancer that would never kill you. So those are the harms. So you can decide for yourself. Every woman has to be informed of the harms, has to be informed of the benefits, and every woman has to make that decision for herself. What do you value? Do you value finding cancer early or not? So on our website, we have a second website, mybreastscreening.ca. I have a list of 5 values. And you decide, you know, how you would rank those 5 values. And if you believe in the benefits of screening, that they outweigh the harms, then you should be screened. But as far as we're concerned, you know, there's no question about the benefits. I talk to women with stage 4 breast cancer all the time. And to know if they had gotten screened, if they had been given what they needed, they wouldn't be dying.
Jenny, can you walk me through a little bit? We've talked about the scripts that are available on densebreastcanada.com. How do women approach their doctors if they would like to get some more screening?
Okay, so there's 2 different scripts. One is for women in the 40s that may have trouble getting a requisition, and one is for women who want ultrasound. And so the scripts are on densebreastcanada.ca and mybreastscreening.ca. And so it's giving you the inaccurate information that may be, you know, given by the healthcare provider and telling you the accurate information, how you can respond to that. If the doctor says, oh, you know, starts talking about the false positives, and you can say, I understand that there is a risk that I may be recalled, but I am willing to accept that risk and I would like a requisition. It's just giving you the words to keep saying, I understand, I have, you know, assessed my own values and preferences kind of thing. I still would like the requisition. And no woman in Canada should be denied a requisition if she wants it. And the task force has changed their wording on that because we have pressured them, because there's the family doctors and nurse practitioners have been confused and have been denying and dismissing women. And so we got them to do a little bit of clarification. And on their website, it does say that after having this discussion about the harms and benefits, if a woman still wants a mammogram, she should be given a requisition. There is the word should. The issue is that healthcare providers don't necessarily go read what every update from the task force. And so you're going to find a lot of healthcare providers. We have 60,000 in Canada. You're going to find a lot of them still denying women in their 40s a requisition. And this is wrong. We have asked the College of Family Physicians to address family physicians on this issue, and they have refused. So we're hoping when the new guidelines come out, it will be clearer. We're hoping the new guidelines will say screening at 40 is recommended, and we are hoping that no family physician will try and talk a woman out of it, because we do have situations. We have self-referral in British Columbia for the last 30 years, but you still have healthcare providers telling women you don't need to go in your 40s. You can wait till 50. There's no reason to go in your 40s. So that's why it's so important for women to be informed. You know, there's so many myths surrounding breast cancer screening. The misinformation is beyond what I've mentioned in terms of, like, many women think if they don't have a family history, they don't need to go. 80% of women with breast cancer do not have a family history. So that is one myth we need to, like, bust big time. Another misconception is you're too young for breast cancer. So many women I speak to that are in their 20s and 30s have been dismissed, denied the imaging. They come in with a symptom and the doctor will say, no, no, you're too young. It's not breast cancer. Don't worry about it. Any woman with a symptom, no matter their age, needs to have imaging. No woman should be dismissed, should ever walk out of a doctor's office without a requisition if they have any kind of skin change, a lump, anything. Nobody is too young for breast cancer now. The incidence is increasing, unfortunately. We talk to way too many women in their 20s and 30s now. You don't have all these myths. You don't have all this misinformation, disinformation, and talk about harms and benefits when it comes to pap tests, when it comes to your colonoscopy. It's very different around breast. We're trying to ensure that women get the screening that they need, because too many women in Canada are dying. We've got 5,000 women who die every year in Canada. We accept that when we know that many of those women, about 1,000, those are avoidable deaths. Every year, we can avoid 1,000 deaths if women get the screening that they need. You know, not just talking about death. There's more to living than dying. There's that quality of life if women are diagnosed early and can avoid all that harsh treatment.
Jenny, can I interject for one second and ask you a quick question? I'm really curious, women that have a history of breast cancer in their family, should they be doing anything differently?
Any woman that has a first-degree relative, that's a mother or a sister or a daughter, needs to have annual screening.
Starting at any age?
Well, it's usually 10 years younger
okay.
than when the first-degree relative had it. There's more to risk than family history also. And there's a risk calculator on our website. And we want every healthcare provider in Canada to take 2 minutes with their patients and do this risk calculator, because so often risks are overlooked. Breast density is just one risk. If you have category C or D, you need supplemental screening, but you may not need ultrasound. You may need MRI. You may be high risk. So currently, in a province like Ontario, we have a high risk program. So women who score over 25% lifetime risk get MRI. The average woman's risk is 12%. So if you do this risk calculator and you put in if you have family history, if you have a BRCA gene, when you had your first child, your first period, blah, blah, if you score over 25%, then you should be in the high-risk program having annual MRI. And I have spoken to too many women who do not know that they are high risk. So too many women are falling through the cracks. There's just not enough knowledge, too many gaps around breast cancer and breast cancer screening.
Maybe we could clarify for our listeners, Jenny, what should women be doing? And maybe I'll just lay it out for you and you can correct where I'm wrong. At age 40, every woman should be screened annually with a mammogram, and they should know their breast density based on those results of that mammogram. If they learn they are category C or D, they need to have supplemental screening with an ultrasound, unless they find from the online calculator that they are high risk, and then they should be getting a breast MRI.
Correct.
I think that's really important, just to set out this is what needs to happen. Because to your point, most women don't know, and I would argue a lot of doctors don't know. I bet they're confused in a lot of instances as well, because the guidelines that we have in Canada do not follow what breast cancer experts believe and know. Is that fair to say?
Yes, in every way. Every single guideline, breast cancer experts disagree with it. And we're hoping this update that comes out in the spring will be improved. But not all the guidelines are going to be improved, because I don't think they're going to address supplemental screening for women with dense breasts. Maybe they'll address the 40s. But there's another thing we haven't really talked about. The task force does not recommend self-exam. And it's another thing that women should be doing. The experts strongly recommend self-exam, especially if you have dense breasts, because women with dense breasts are at higher risk of finding a cancer by themselves in between their regular screenings, those interval cancers. And so they need to be vigilant about self-exam. And the issue is that most women do not know how to do a proper self-exam. They're not confident in doing self-exam. They're not doing regular self-exam. So it's another thing that needs to be, there's an education gap there. There's a website called knowyourlemons.org, which is a fabulous site, and it shows self-exam. There's going to be a post about a Know Your Lemons ambassador who's going to be doing a session coming up early in December, but she'll be doing it monthly. So Know Your Lemons has volunteers that do Zoom sessions that teach women how to do a self-exam. You know, breast tissue goes up to your collarbone and it's under your arms. Most women don't know that. And so you need to be feeling those places as well. There is no screening for women under 40 unless you have a significant family history. So under 40, what are you going to do? You've got self-exam. That's all we have right now. There is a blood test. Our experts don't feel it's quite ready for prime time, but there is a blood test out there. But for women, young women, they should be taught how to do self-exam in their teens. We just want more Canadians to be diagnosed at stage one. The survival rate for 5 years, if you're diagnosed at stage one, is 100%. And if you're diagnosed at stage four, it's 22%. So we need early detection. Everything that I am talking about today is early detection. And we don't have a cure for breast cancer. The only thing we've got is finding it early, because then it's small and then you can avoid all that treatment and you can have a better chance of having a long, healthy life.
Amazing. I've got goosebumps right now. Something I think might be worth mentioning, we were talking about myths, and Jenny, when I had the privilege of talking to you several months ago, I had just learned my breast density score and was blown away to find out that I have category D breasts because they are super small. So let me tell you, D category does not equate with D size for sure. And I think that sometimes there's some misconceptions there too. But more importantly, you said to me on that phone call that breast density puts you at higher risk than a family history. That was very arresting information. And I took it a hell of a lot more seriously. And I think, you know, we need to do more podcasts like this. You need to keep doing the fabulous work that you're doing, because not enough people understand these facts. And they're potentially life-changing.
Yes, and I hope that when women do learn their breast density, that they will take that extra step.
I can also share, this is probably too much information, but I'm going to anyway. I'm in Alberta. I was fortunate enough to have a doctor who gets the seriousness or the potential seriousness of this. I was referred for a breast MRI. And prior to that, I'd had to have 2 years of follow-up screening via ultrasound and mammogram. For so many of those results, I kept getting, so there's a BI-RADS score, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
I was getting a 3, which is probably not cancer. Let me tell you, probably not cancer is an unsettling score.
Yes.
The MRI came back and said 2. You have cysts, they're not cancer. So let me tell you, delighted as someone who went through the anxiety of that, delighted and would go through all of that again. Because even if it wasn't a 2, if it had gone to a 4, I'd want to know.
Absolutely. You're lucky.
Yeah.
You see, this is you know, one of the main focuses of what we do and why we do it is because of the inequity across the country. You know, I took 5 breast cancer screening practices and compared how provinces do on those practices. If you live in Quebec, 0 out of 5, they're not doing any of them. Alberta's doing maybe 2. Nova Scotia's doing 5. So all these different optimal breast cancer screening practices depend on where you live. So when you said to me that you live in Alberta and you got MRI, I'm thinking you're lucky, you know, and it shouldn't be based on luck. The whole thing, to me, the whole thing is a travesty. You know, women are dying when they shouldn't be dying. What are we doing? What are we doing? I just want to emphasize with Dense Breast Canada, we are a very small organization. We are volunteer run. We don't have, you know, money. We're just, you know, women and healthcare providers that are seeing an injustice and are trying to do something about it. We don't have enough Canadian women voices because most women don't think it's going to happen to them. So we need a collective voice to stop this. We don't have the ability on our own. We have made great progress. We've now got 7 provinces telling all women their density, 3 more coming. We've had provinces now begin screening in the 40s or plan to screen in the 40s. We've had progress, great progress, but we could have so much more if we came together and used our voices collectively. And we need those breast cancer organizations in Canada also to take a stronger stand.
You have a tool on Dense Breasts Canada, I believe, for people to write to their local MPs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There is an advocacy tool, you know, to lobby the government, essentially. So we'll make sure we post that in our show notes. And when we are promoting your episode, we'll also put that on our social channels, because you're right, it is important. And the only way we're going to affect change for women's breast health, women's perimenopausal health, women's health in general, is by demanding better.
Right. We have to come together. And what's happening in breast because of the task force is happening related to cervical. It's happening lung cancer, which is the biggest killer of women. It's having postpartum depression. All these guidelines impact women's health. They're all guidelines that experts disagree with. I mean, we have a guideline that says women after having a baby should not be screened for postpartum depression. How does that make sense to you? We are, you know, at least 10 years behind with our HPV screening, you know, for cervical cancer. So, you know, I don't need to tell you about women's health.
Yeah. But Jenny, something just sparked for me. So we have listeners from all over the world, followers and listeners from all around the globe. Are there countries that are getting this right or doing better?
I did make a list. The U.S. is maybe 10 years ahead of us in terms of technology. They're using 3D mammogram, probably 75-80% of their clinics. They have a bill now in front of their government that they're trying to find it early act. They're trying to get approval, but they have difficulty in the States with supplemental as well because of insurance. There are many countries that are doing screening at 40. There are many countries that are offering supplemental screening. On that website, I mentioned the densebreastinfo.org. They have a list of countries that are doing supplemental screening for women with dense breasts. So yes, there are many countries that are doing more than we are doing here in Canada.
I think the message then as well is, you know, find out what the guidelines are where you live, but know that at a minimum, you should be starting at 40. And if you have dense breasts, you need supplemental, and ask for that. And if you can't get it, see another practitioner and ask again and keep asking until you get what you need.
Exactly. It's insist and persist. And yes, guidelines are just recommendations. They are not rules. They are not set in stone. You can make the difference in your own life by advocating for what you need. I have seen it time and time again. Women are getting what they need because they are using their voices. So don't think just because there's a guideline or just because your doctor said something that you can't get it. You have got to push for yourself. It could save your life. Really, your life is in your own hands when it comes to breast health in Canada, as sad as that is.
But also powerful, I feel. Like when you give women the information, when you give women the tools we need, and you put it in our hands, we'll take it on.
I hope so. It's a difficult environment. Many women don't have family doctors right now. And you're also afraid to challenge because you don't want your family doctor to dismiss you, you know, as family doctors are, you know, eliminating patients from their clinics. It's a difficult time to push back.
I see, and I've been dismissed so much that I'm now like, okay, bring it on. I just expect it. So I fight with them all the time.
Yeah. But you have to have somebody who's willing to listen to you. Yeah, it's not something, unfortunately, all women, and, you know, we have a population, you know, high population of immigrants, minority groups. They're not comfortable talking about breast. There's stigma around talking about breast. There's language barriers. Really, it's not something that we talk enough about either.
There are also different cultures who are at higher risk because of their ethnicity as well, which is something that isn't also talked about enough, right?
Yes, thank you. I just want to take that second to say, yes, women who are Black, Asian, Hispanic, Filipino, Ashkenazi Jewish, have a higher risk of having breast cancer in their 40s. These groups need to get screened in the 40s. And that's why we're discriminating against these groups by not offering all women self-referral in the 40s.
Can I ask you, Jenny, for the women that aren't comfortable having the conversations with their doctors or even friends or people in their community, you know, when you say, okay, we can go online and get some information, but the World Wide Web is a big, scary place with a whole lot of misinformation on it as well. So could you recommend other, I know that breastdensecanada.ca is a great resource to start, but what other resources are there out there for women who would like some answers, but maybe are afraid to ask?
The Canadian Cancer Society has information. We don't agree with all of it, but it does have information. In Canada, we've lost our Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. So that's a really difficult question, where women can go for Canadian sources. We have lots of webinars. Our medical advisor gives lots of webinars. There's one also in Cantonese. We do have partners, but their focus is not necessarily breast cancer screening. So it's a tough one. There's a new tool for women with breast cancer called Ask Ellen. And this is with Ellen Winters Robinson, who we did the campaign with in October. And she has put out artificial intelligence. So women can ask Ellen any question in any language and get an answer, an empathetic answer, not medical advice, but an answer from someone who has lived experience, been through breast cancer.
We actually had Ellen on the show. So,
oh, right.
You mentioned when you were talking about your experience that you were diagnosed with breast cancer, I believe it was 2014. And you mentioned you had an ultrasound. I'm just curious about how that came to be. Did you ask for that? Was it your doctor? If you don't mind sharing, would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, certainly. But it's not something that's going to apply to other women. I had, Testa, mammograms, transvaginal, and my family doctor did not tell me everything that the report said. And when I asked for the reports, and this is something else that I want to really strongly recommend, we don't do this enough, please ask for your reports, because you're not always told all the information from your report. So you can't advocate for yourself if you don't know everything. There's a wonderful tool called Pocket Health, which I absolutely love, and which gave me 10 years of all my reports and my imaging. Anyway, so I had this family doctor, didn't tell me everything. I switched family doctors. So this new family doctor, just as a matter of course, because she is so proactive and so thorough, she gave me an ultrasound requisition. The ultrasound requisition was just something she did. Family doctors don't normally do that. I didn't have dense breasts. She just gave it to me. She saved my life, because that day here at mammogram was clear. 10 minutes later, I'm having the ultrasound and the tech says, I'm going to go call the radiologist to come in for a minute. So it was really a fluke. Yeah, it's just my story, but it doesn't really apply to anybody else, because you cannot get an ultrasound requisition if you don't have dense breasts. It's not something that is recommended, because again, they're ultrasound is a very sensitive test. It's going to pick up things. You're going to need additional testing potentially. So they don't want to do that. So ultrasound is only recommended for women with category C or D. And I was a B. Category B that I'm in has scattered areas of density. So those scattered areas of density can still hide a cancer. So that's why everybody should practice self-exam. But my cancer wasn't seen on mammogram for a reason we don't know exactly. It was close to the nipple. And when they do compression, sometimes they don't get all the tissue. But once I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I also went for a 3D mammogram. It still was not seen on the 3D mammogram when they knew exactly where it was. I'm just lucky that I had that ultrasound. Otherwise, I would have gone a year later. By then, it would have been definitely chemo. You know, so, and who knows what my prognosis would have been. So it doesn't apply. Everybody's breast cancer story is different. Some of them may be helpful for other women. Mine isn't really all that helpful. I don't have dense breasts. I'm not in my 40s. None of this advocacy will help me. None of the advocacy we do will help any of our volunteers. They are all dedicated women who don't want what happened to them to happen to somebody else. That's why they are devoting the time. Our medical experts that we collaborate with, they are full-time clinicians. They are working every night on this, weekends, nonstop. I make them crazy. they will tell you that. But yeah, we don't let up.
Well, thank you. You're saving lives. You are saving lives. I dare say you've saved mine, because I didn't know what I should know until we spoke.
Well, thank you. We don't like to talk about that kind, that we're saving lives. We just like to hope that we're educating and empowering women to look after themselves. You save your own life.
Hmm. Jenny, what's the one thing you want every woman to know, especially in perimenopause?
Cancer in the 40s can be very aggressive. And it's a time, it's fueled by hormones. And that's why it is essential to go for mammograms from 40 to 49. It should be annual, because cancer can grow so quickly. It's a time where you're very busy. You're looking after your kids, your career. But please make the time for yourself, because you matter to so many people.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you like what you hear, please take a moment to rate and subscribe to our podcast. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so more women can find us and get a little better understanding of what to expect in perimenopause.
We also read all the reviews, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to help us continuously improve our show. We would love to hear from you. You can connect with us through the podcast, on social media, or through our website. Our information, as well as links and details from our conversation today, can be found in the show notes.
This podcast is for general information only. It's designed to educate, inspire, and support you on your personal journey through perimenopause. The information and opinions on this podcast are not intended to be a substitution for primary care, diagnosis, or treatment. The information on this podcast does not replace professional healthcare advice. The use of the information discussed is at the sole discretion of the listener. If you are suffering from symptoms or have questions, please consult a qualified healthcare practitioner.